Well, good morning, everyone. I hope that everyone is staying safe. Please let me know if anyone in our assembly is affected with COVID-19. And so far, I have not heard of any. I've heard of various family members outside, but none in our own family here. Now, is it safe to say next week, YouTube? Get muted next week, YouTube? Both. Yeah. Next week, we will be on Facebook, YouTube, and then for the Don Beckers out there, we'll be on the internet after each of the sessions. So that's kind of our schedule for worshiping together. People, please remember, we're worshiping God together. So let's begin this morning with a word of prayer to the heavenly throne. And people, always remember the reason that we're able to pray to God as our Father is because we're in Jesus Christ. Sinners saved, but we have a sin nature. So when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're empowered by the Spirit and led by the Spirit. And the reason we pray is because we are in His Son that we're studying in Ephesians. I'm hoping next week to get back into the book of Ephesians. We're going to have one more study this morning in the second session on encouragement. But next Sunday, when we're back on YouTube and Facebook and internet, we're going to continue our study in the great book of Ephesians. But right now, let's approach the throne of grace together in prayer. Test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how much we need Thee in this hour of trouble. I pray that You will continue to use this pandemic to bring lost souls to Jesus Christ for salvation and to wake us up. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I want to begin with one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and then we'll get into our study from Isaiah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. God will supernaturally, through His Spirit, work on your mind to keep you in perfect peace, fruit of the Holy Spirit, if you keep your mind stayed on Him. If you get your mind on the flooding waters around you like Peter did when he was walking on the water, you'll sink. You'll lose that peace. As long as Peter kept his eyes on the Lord, he walked on water. But when he took his eyes off of the Lord and looked at the storm and said, I shouldn't be walking here, he sunk. So, keep your mind stayed on Him. And by the power of His Spirit, He will keep you in perfect peace. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. Now, I don't know who wrote what I'm getting ready to read. I don't even know if this person's a believer. I assume they are, but the words are classic. Please listen to them. In 3 months, just like He did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken everything away we worship. God said, you worship athletes, I'll shut down the stadiums. You worship musicians, I will shut down civic centers. You worship actors. I will shut down theaters. You worship money. I will shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church and worship me? I will make it where you can't go to church. And then it closes with this great verse. If, and that's the great deal, maybe they will, maybe they won't. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive them their sins, and will heal their land. Maybe we don't need a vaccine. Maybe we need to take time of isolation from the distractions of the world and have a personal revival where we focus on the only thing in the world that really matters, Jesus Christ. Start the revival in your home. Spread the love of Jesus. Now, that introduces our study. We're back to our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 on spiritual love. I think the two most important doctrines, teachings of the Bible for the born-again believer, for the unbeliever, the most important is how to be saved. For the born-again believer, how to be filled with the Spirit and to love as Christ loved. Those are the two most important. I would like, when God calls me home, for the epitaph of my ministry is on spiritual love. It might seem like it's on faith, because faith is the way you get the spiritual love. Faith in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit pours in spiritual love in you, and it flows out from you. But spiritual love is a great issue. Now, we're going to look at about five things here. We've looked at the new command. It's a new commandment, foremost commandment. It's a spiritual force. Spiritual love is a superior way of life. Spiritual love is the spiritual alchemizer. You pardon that word. Five, it's the spiritual immune system. Now, as the new commandment, look with me at John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus Christ is speaking to the disciples the night of the Passover. In a few hours, he'll be crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended into heaven, and the church age will begin. This is a commandment for us. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, not because you say so, by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So this is the new commandment, and it lets the world know that you belong to Christ. Now, as the foremost commandment, with that, let's look at the gospel or the epistle of 1 John. 1 John, let's look at 1 John. Chapter 3, 1 John 3, and we're going to read verses 22 through 24. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. I can't hear if you're opening your Bibles, so I'm just going to have to admit my hips that you're opening your Bibles. Somebody asked me what it's like speaking to empty people. Well, we have four people here. Julie and her husband, Brian, are here, and her mother, and Jeff Harrison to help organize all of this. And get us on Facebook next week, on YouTube, and on the internet. But I'm looking at Mackenzie Wise. I'm looking at Trey Langston. I'm looking at 43 other young people. They're all smiling. I'm going to accept that as if they're approving of what I'm saying. But they're all smiling. So I've got 43 people I'm teaching right there. So it's not like totally empty. I got four live ones and 45 others. So we have a nice assembly this morning, and each one of you. Okay, let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment. Now, we've done this before, but you'll notice verse 22, plural, commandments. Verse 23, singular. It's either way you want to look at it. This could be two commandments or one commandment. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. The one who keeps His commandments, now back to the plural, faith and love, faith in the Holy Spirit, love toward one another. The one who keeps His commandment abides in Him, and He in him. People, you're not alone. Some of you are alone today with all of this shut in. Our good friend Gigi, my good friend Steve, just to name two. Alone. But you're not alone, people. God the Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus Christ is in you if you're in the Holy Spirit. So, the one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and he in him. We know by this that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has graciously given to us. Now, spiritual love is a spiritual force. As a spiritual force, it's provided by the power of the Holy Spirit when you walk in the Spirit by faith. There is no spiritual love if you're not empowered by the Holy Spirit. Walking by faith in the Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit will work mightily, coming off our study Wednesday night, mightily in you, so that the world knows something about you, that you belong to Jesus Christ. Not because you say so. That doesn't mean anything. They'll know it by the way you love, that you belong to Jesus Christ. Say, years ago we did a study on Samson as a Christ type. Ah, wow, that's pretty heavy. But what I liked about the study of Samson is they asked, what is your secret? What's the secret to your strength? The world should be asking us, what's your secret? What's the secret of your love? Last week we went through the first 4 or 5 centuries of the church. And we studied how a plague in the 2nd century, 3rd century, 4th century, 5th century, how these plagues spread Christianity. I didn't really go into why and how. One of the reasons was, not unlike some places today, slaves and old people kicked out when these plagues started. It was the Christians in the Roman Empire who went and helped these people and brought many back to health. That startled the Caesars. That startled the world. And they started coming to Christ. Because the Christians loved those whom the world, the Roman Empire, was throwing out. This is a powerful force, spiritual love. It lets the world know something about you. What's your secret? How can you love like that? Because I am in Christ and have the power of His Spirit pouring that love. Now, spiritual love is the more excellent way. It's a superior way of life. Superior to anything else in the world. It's a superior way to live with one another. Rather than having a local church manifesting fruit and gifts, I'd rather them manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is the more excellent way. Spiritual love is the alchemizer. What does that mean, alchemizer? Well, look it up in Google. But alchemize is when you transform something. It changes something. With that in mind, look at 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Show you what an alchemizer is. Show you how spiritual love is the spiritual alchemizer of your life. Verse 1. If I speak with the tongues, languages, of men and of angels. Angels have their own vocabulary. Language, but do not have love. I have become a noisy gong and an echoing sound. Just draws attention back to you. You know what an echo is. We've all stood somewhere, a mountain maybe, hollered out and heard our voice come back to us. Hollered out our name and had it come back to us. All it does is draw and glorify you. That's all it does. Without spiritual love, your spiritual love is of no good. Spiritual love alchemizes it, transforms it into something beautiful, precious, in the sight of God. Look at verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy, what a marvelous gift that is. If I have the gift of prophecy, and know all mysteries, when we study Ephesians, we're going to be studying the doctrine of the mystery. Here it says, if I know all the mysteries and all knowledge. People, that is astounding. That means from Genesis 1 to Revelation 21, it's, you know it all. All knowledge. And if I have all faith, so that I may remove mountains. Now, the removal of mountains, it means to remove insurmountable objects. That's what kind of faith they have. But do not have love. I am nothing. Spiritual love alchemizes gifts, alchemizes your knowledge, your faith, into something precious in the angelic conflict. And verse 3, and if I give my possessions to feed the poor. Now the Greek actually says, to feed the poor where I myself become poor. Give all my gifts to where I become poor. And if I surrender my body to be burned, in other words, in place of someone else, for the benefit of someone else, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Each morning, one of my things I do, first thing, is I look at Christian history. And inevitably, someone has been a martyr for Christ in the 2,000 years. When I read that, I pray, Father, I pray. One, that they were believers. Two, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, people, their martyrdom is nothing in the spiritual annals of God. Before God, it's nothing. If you're going to die, make it worthwhile. be in the power of the Spirit. If you're going to give a dime, make it worthwhile. Do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, Holy, the spiritual love alchemizes giving of money, sacrifice, giving of your life. It alchemizes it to where it's precious and valuable in the sight of God. And it will provide rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. So, spiritual love is the alchemizer. Now, something else spiritual love is. Spiritual love is the spiritual immune system. Immune system to our spiritual life. Today, with coronavirus, nearly everyone is concerned about their physical immune system. I read this morning, some doctors are saying vitamin C is a real boost to the immune system over coronavirus. I don't know, just what it said. But we have a physical immune system, and like at a time like this, we know about it. Nick Daig. Nick Daig has been attacked months ago on his immune system. I talked to Chris this morning. He seems to be doing so much better. Let's continue to pray for him. But we're all aware of our immune system. How to make it stronger. Okay? How to protect it and so on. Well, people, your spiritual life has a spiritual immune system. It's called spiritual love. You can't take a tablet. You can't drink a drink. Simply by faith, you get this immune system. It will protect your spiritual life and stabilize it, advance it, and proclaim it to the world. That's what spiritual love does. Spiritual love creates an environment. First of all, inside you, and then in your environment, in your home, your marriage, your family, work, church, social life. Basically, we're all stuck at home. You learn a lot about your marriage when you're stuck at home with each other all day and all night. You learn a lot. Is it strong? Is it edifying to the other? Creates an environment. Spiritual love creates an environment. What's the environment in your home? Yesterday, today. You established that environment to your part in that home. Now, let's look at what spiritual love is. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love, agape, spiritual love of the Holy Spirit. I call it spiritual love. One, we have spiritual gifts. I call this spiritual love. It's one, provided by the Holy Spirit. Two, only in a new spiritual creation, a born-again believer. And three, it has spiritual impact. Spiritual love. Spiritual love is long-suffering. How long does your love suffer? People, all of our love suffers. We all think the other person should have done this, should do that. And we're easily irritated when they don't. How long does your love suffer before it goes to something else, like anger, rage, revenge, jealousy, and so on? Being long-suffering allows you to keep what God has graciously given to you in Christ. Next, spiritual love is, we've studied long-suffering, spiritual love is kind. Your impact on others, drawing them to Christ. Then Paul switched to the negative description. He's now looking at it as the immune system, protecting you against things. So he's going to list some things that spiritual love will protect you from as your spiritual immune system. See? Spiritual love is not jealous, arrogant, or envious. See? It's not jealous, not envious. Spiritual love does not boast. Now, not being jealous or envious means that God can bless others without you getting all bent out of shape. Not boasting means God can bless you without you getting others out of shape. See? It's a wonderful thing that God has given us in spiritual love. And now this morning we begin with the next one. We've studied these. Does not boast. We've studied that. This morning we begin spiritual love is not arrogant. Remember, spiritual love is a spiritual immune system of spiritual lives. Let's start with a very fundamental principle. I hope that this is the one thing you pick up from today. You do not make a decision not to be arrogant. You do not make that decision. You make a decision, you make a positive decision, not a negative. I will not be arrogant. That's a negative decision. You make a positive one. And that is, I will trust the Holy Spirit to pour in spiritual love into my life. See, everything that we're studying, spiritual love is the subject, not you. You are not long-suffering. You are not kind. You do not boast. You do not get jealous. Spiritual love is long-suffering. Spiritual love is kind. Spiritual love is not jealous or envious. Spiritual love does not boast. You don't make a decision about these things. Your decision is about the Holy Spirit. You make a positive decision about your spiritual life. You make a decision that you're going to trust the Holy Spirit. You do not make a decision not to be arrogant. You can't make that decision and pull it off in the flesh. You cannot make that decision and pull it off in the flesh. Your flesh nature is weak and is in opposition, competition with the Holy Spirit. Look at Galatians 5. Look at Galatians 5. Verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. That's your flesh nature. For the flesh, people, it's so wonderful. I don't know why Christians fear death. Death is a wonderful thing. The moment we die, we're face to face with the Lord, and very important, no sin nature. See? Now, you get a glimpse of that. I wish my wife, I wish my husband, I wish my family would see me without my sin nature. They will. If you stay in faith in the Spirit for 5 minutes, they do not see your flesh nature. 5 minutes. Too long. That's too long. And it is a long time. Walk by faith. But when we're in heaven, no sin nature, when we receive our resurrected body, and forever and ever. See? I can say to my wife, see, Judah, this is what I would have been like on earth without a sin nature. Look how wonderful I am now. Big deal, you're in heaven. See? So, this is what spiritual love will do. And so let's continue reading now. And verse 17 now. For the flesh sets its desire against the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you please. Now, people, sometime when you're in the filling of the Spirit, There's a fight going on inside. It's not bad tacos. It's an inner battle going on between your flesh nature and the Holy Spirit. They battle for you. The Holy Spirit wants to control you, and by all means, your flesh wants to control you, and your flesh has been with you since the second you were born into this earth. See? The Holy Spirit came into you the second you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, and whammo, you entered into the conflict. They're at battle with each other. They're at battle. See? So, the description of your life when it's in the flesh. Look at verse 22. Or verse 19, Galatians 5:19. For the deeds, the manifestation. Remember, I just told you spiritual love manifests itself so that others will know that you belong to Christ. Well, the deeds of the flesh are evident. Nobody has to tell me when I'm not in the Holy Spirit. I know. I know. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality. I think a lot of people today need to look that word up in the dictionary, in the Bible. We have no idea what that word means anymore. Impurity. Sensuality. Idolatry. Sorcery. Enmities. Strife. Jealousy. Outburst of anger. Disputes. Dissensions. Factions. Envying. Drunkenness, carousing, and then I love the next phrase by Paul, and things like these, just in case I miss you, just in case you're sitting back there so self-righteous, well, I'm none of those things, he's got you. Things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have warned you, those who practice such things will not inherit, didn't say not enter, but not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, in contrast, look at your life under the Holy Spirit. But, there's that great but. The fruit of the Spirit is love, spiritual love, joy, inner happiness, regardless of circumstances, peace, inner peace, regardless of circumstances. People, we can have joy and peace in the midst of coronavirus. All you have to do is be filled with the Spirit and know that God is in control. Patience. There's a big one. I don't know about you, but that's a big one for me. Patience. Kindness. Spiritual love is kind. Goodness. Faithfulness. People, we're not faithful. The Holy Spirit makes us faithful. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You want to be faithful? Be in the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important to know how to be filled with the Spirit. You know how you were saved? By grace through faith? That's how you're filled with the Spirit. By grace through faith. Okay? Goodness or gentleness? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Self-control. Now, I love the next phrase. Against such things, there is no law. There is no law. We're having a big battle today. A lot of our congresspeople are communist liberals, socialists. Some of them are capitalist people, love freedom. Let's just say that in the next 10 years, America becomes communistic, which is not far-fetched. You can still practice these things. Communism, socialism, liberalism has no law against love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no such law against such things. See? No law against them. So spiritual love is a spiritual immune system. Spiritual love is immune to these negative impacts in your life. I call them antigens. A-N-T-I-G-E-N-S. Antigens from the flesh self. You know what antigen is? You should know with all that's going on with coronavirus. An antigen is a foreign substance which attacks our bodies, like the coronavirus, virus, germs, boom, attacks our bodies, mainly our lungs, breathing system. But it attacks. Now, what is so beautiful, people, I cannot believe, it's just so hard for me to understand how a doctor of the human body would not believe in creation by God. Our body is a magnificent machine. Heating, cooling, waste removal, transforming the food into energy, all that it does. But even in this area, an antigen enters our body. Something enters on your arm, cut, boom, T-cells rush to that area. Seal it up so that you don't get sick, get infected more. So, this is a wonderful system God has set up in our human body. Well, we take that understanding, transfer it into the spiritual realm, and we have a spiritual immune system, spiritual love. See? This is what spiritual love does. It attacks the sins of the flesh nature and stops them in their track. Spiritual love comes to the aid and stops boasting, jealousy, envy, arrogance. It stops them. That's the nature of spiritual love. Now, the first antigen enemy of your spiritual life, by Paul, is jealousy or envy. See? It's a cancer eating in your spiritual life. We studied how Satan was jealous, envious of God. See? And so, spiritual love stops it. People, what this tells you, spiritual love allows inequality. I am so irritated with the Democrats. They cannot stand inequality. They cannot stand it. They want to reduce America to the lowest common denominator of the lowest country in the world. Instead of raising it up, they want to take America down. They cannot stand inequality. Spiritual love allows inequality. Spiritual love allows God to bless others. Eh? It's one of the best ways to start teaching your children. Yeah, there's, you got a daughter? Yeah, there may be girls prettier than your daughter in the world. There may be young guys that are better athletes than your son, smarter than your children, on and on and on. It's okay. Spiritual love allows inequality. And it doesn't harm you. When you talk about spiritual gifts at the judgment seat of Christ, some people get all upset. Oh, well, that means some believers are going to be real big in heaven and all that. That's right. But you know what? It ain't going to bother anybody else. We won't have a sin nature. If you want to get a glimpse, just a glimpse of it, drive to the richest neighborhood that you can find. Are you jealous? Are you envious? Do you regret all these things? Or do you just drive through and enjoy the yards and the house? Glad that those kind of people are in a capitalistic society. See? That gives you a little glimpse of what eternity is about. You won't worry about inequality, because you're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in your resurrected body. Spiritual love allows inequality. Now, the next antigen of spiritual love is boasting. We spend several months on boasting. See? When God blesses you, You don't boast. You don't get in other people's way with what God has blessed you with. See? So, it does not allow boasting. Now, the third antigen of spiritual love in your spiritual life is arrogance. Arrogance. Spiritual love is not arrogant. Now, I want you to notice a pattern. I want you to notice a pattern that's developed here in these passages. This is what we've studied. Take a look. Spiritual love is long-suffering. That's the environment inside of you. The first effect, environment of spiritual love is inside you. Long-suffering. But, the other side of the coin, spiritual love is kind. That's outside of you. See? That's what others can see. That's how they'll know you belong to Christ. Now, spiritual love is not jealous or envious. That's inside you. Nobody can see that. That's inside you. The other side of the coin, spiritual love does not boast. That's on the outside. See? That's what people could see or hear or not see or not see, not hear. Spiritual love is not arrogant. That's on the inside. That's on the inside. Nobody can see that. It's on the inside. And next, we're not this morning, but next we will cover spiritual love does not act unbecomingly. That's the seen side. So Paul has set up a beautiful pattern here. The first effect is inside of you. That will manifest an effect outside of you through what others can see. See? Long-suffering inside. Kind outside. Not jealous or envious inside. Not boast outside. Not arrogant inside. Not acting unbecoming outside. See? So we're looking now at spiritual love and arrogance. The most basic fundamental of all the antigens in a spiritual life is arrogance. The power of spiritual love is that spiritual love is immune to arrogance. It's amazing. It's immune to it. If you're in the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be arrogant. Now, we're going to look at the nature of arrogance and the nature of spiritual love, that it will not permit arrogance. Now, first of all, the complex system of spiritual love. The complex system of spiritual love. This is the environment of spiritual love. One, in respect to self and outside pressure, outside adversity, spiritual love is long-suffering. Now, the Greek word primarily deals with people, not with things. You're not long-suffering because your garage door won't open. You're not long-suffering because the microwave won't cook the way you want it to. That's another Greek word. But our word is makrothumia. It deals with people. People. One another. Love one another. By this all will know that you're mine. See? So, in respect to self, and in outside pressure, spiritual love is long-suffering. Spiritual love prevents outside pressure from getting on the inside and ruining your spiritual life. See? Secondly, in respect to others, spiritual love is kind. Kind to them, drawing them to Christ. Three, in respect to what others have, who they are, spiritual love is not jealous or envious. See? They can be more attractive than you. Ha! There's one they picked up in later life. Their kids are smarter than your kids. Their kids are more talented than your kids. That's okay. Spiritual love allows you to handle that. See? In my profession, there are people who are better teachers than I am, by far. I'm thankful for every one of you. I'm thankful for every one of you watching this morning. I'm thankful for every one of you that when all this is over, we'll come back and we can worship together. I'm thankful that you worship here. Learn from what the Holy Spirit reveals to me. I'm very thankful. Amen. So, but there's inequality. Spiritual love's okay with that. Now, four, in respect to what others have or what they are. Spiritual love does not boast. Amen. There are pastors better than me. Oh, and I'm better than some of the others. Big deal. God uses them. God uses me. God uses them. That's why all kinds of men are called to be pastor teachers. No one is everyone's pastor teacher. No one. No one is everyone's pastor teacher. I loved homiletics in seminary. I just wish they had done a little different program. But anyway, at Dallas Seminary, they had a vision of a Dallas man. And so they wanted to roll out, like you crank out a Dallas man. But what was so interesting was that the different styles and the different personalities and the different people that God gave the gift to. I wish they would have said, now, are you going to use notes or no notes? A little note or a big note? Whatever you're going to do, let's work on that. Let's work on helping you present and teach however you're going to. I love one of my friends in seminary. He was a tall veterinarian. He was a vet. Decided that God had called him into the ministry. And he would lean against the pulpit in seminary. And he would just talk about what he wanted to say. What he had to say was good. Good stuff. But what a delivery. Others were very show. They had long, beautiful hair, and they had a big smile, and all this stuff. God uses different men, different talents, different gifts, different emphasis. I'm so thankful some men are called to prophecy. I do not have time to spend all my days on studying prophecy. But I can go to men that do. I can go to Hal Lindsey, Tommy Ice, and go to these kind of people and see what they've done. What they've done with these passages and all. And get a key. I'm so glad that some are in archaeology. I'm not an archaeologist. I don't even make a dig in my backyard. See? But some men, they just love it. They get in under the ground and get that dust and dust off something and look what I found. I found a little ring. Wow. And it is wow. And I'm so thankful for it. We're discovering, we archaeologists, so much in the last 50 years validating stories in the Bible. It's unbelievable what's coming up. I hope you keep up with biblical archaeology. But what I'm saying is, God calls different men to different things, different emphasis. See? And that's their calling. That's good. Nobody should boast about it or be jealous about it. See? And then five, putting all together, all the negatives, everything related to you, spiritual love will protect you from that. Now, spiritual love is not arrogant. Where spiritual love is present, there is no arrogance. Where there's arrogance, there is no spiritual love. It's that simple. In your home, at work, church, social life, driving. Where there is no spiritual love, where there's arrogance, there's no spiritual love. And where there's spiritual love, there's no arrogance. See? Again, you do not want to make a decision about arrogance. As bad as it is, you don't make a decision about it. If you do not already know just how horrible and destructive arrogance is, you will by the time we get through with this section. And as you begin to learn, you may decide you do not want to be arrogant in your mind, in your soul. But people, you don't make a decision not to be arrogant. You make a decision about your spiritual life. You make a decision about your relationship with God the Holy Spirit. That's the decision you make. Not about arrogance. That'll fail. Your flesh nature wants to be arrogant. See? Now, both arrogance and spiritual love create an environment. Both of them create an environment, first of all, in your soul. Then, in your life. That's why I went through inside, outside, inside, outside. Spiritual love, arrogance, creates an environment in your soul that will be manifested in your life. See? They create an environment and are mutually exclusive. They don't share the same room. They don't share the same environment. They're different. The environment of arrogance is just the opposite of the environment of spiritual love. The environment of spiritual love is just the opposite of arrogance. It is impossible to live the spirit-filled life and be arrogant. It's impossible. The arrogance manifests itself. You create an environment. Spiritual love manifests itself. It creates an environment in your soul, in your life, with others. Now, very important. Remember, by loving as Jesus Christ loves, the world will know something about you. If you were key when we read that passage in John 13, I said all will know. In the text it says all men will know. There is no man there. There is nothing for man. All. Why do I point that out? Angels. Other humans. Other believers. Unbelievers. Will know. All will know. And for the sake of you pet lovers, I suppose even your pets will know when you're out of line. But that's a whole other deal. But all will know. Angels are watching. Angels are learning from us. They're watching. And they'll see that you're not arrogant. They'll see spiritual love. Or they will see that you are arrogant. Even though you're in Christ. See? Spiritual love lets others know something about you. That you belong to Jesus Christ. People, you don't have to tell. I know people that like to talk about what wonderful Christians they are, and then they are pitiful in their life. Pitiful. They're arrogant, self-righteous, boastful, revengeful. Whole bunch of lists of things as Galatians 5 lists. It's the way they are. Yet they say they're Christians. To me, that's one of the worst things you can do. I'm a Christian. Well, people, be careful. People are going to watch you. Going to watch. If they see something that to them is not Christian, it's off. They have their standards, which are generally not even biblical. But you've got to be careful. Let people know that you belong to Christ by loving as He does. See? Loving one another. Arrogance puffs you up. Gives you a self-sense of importance. Then the world will know that you're not unlike them. That's what's beautiful. The world will know you're not unlike them. That's the way we act. I understand that. I understand anger. That's what we do. I understand boasting. That's what we do. I understand jealousy and envy. That's what we do. You're not unlike the world. You claim you are, but you're not. You don't act it. You don't live it. People, you want to live as though you are in Christ if you have believed in Him as your Savior. You want to draw others to Christ. And you do that by loving them as Christ loved you. Go back to the first 4 or 5 centuries of the church. Christians helped those who got the various viruses and plagues. And we studied them last Sunday. And they helped those that were dying of it, sick of it, slaves, old people, people that the families kicked out. Christians gathered them up minister to them physically, help them physically. And they took note of that. They took note of that. Caesars took note of that. Here these Christians are helping people that are not even Christians. These Galatians, helping people that are non-believers. How could that be? How could they do that? What's their secret? Secret's Christ. Well, tell me about Him. Not about you. Tell me about Him. See? Don't want to know about you. Tell me about Him, if that's your secret. See? Now, in a few minutes we have left, let's get started in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Verse 4. Now, you'll notice, it just says at the end, and is not arrogant. What's the subject? The subject's at the beginning of verse 4. Love. Love is the subject. Spiritual love is the subject, not you. Agape. See? Agape, love. Please remember, you are not long-suffering. You are not kind. You are not jealous and boastful. Spiritual love is these things. So, spiritual love is not. Now, actually, it simply says not. And the negative is used here is the negative. There are two basic negatives in the Greek. This one means shuts the door completely. It's over. This is truthful of spiritual love wherever it is found, in whomever it is found. Then next we have a verb. Not a descriptive noun, but an active verb. Present middle indicative of the Greek verb meaning to blow, to inflate, to puff. Which is why the King James translates this, not puffed up. That's almost a direct use of the Greek word. Negative, not. The subject is spiritual love of the new commandment. Plus the negative, not. Spiritual love is not puffed up. That is a figure of speech for arrogance. Is not arrogant. See? Spiritual love is not arrogant. It is not the property of spiritual love to be arrogant. Spiritual love is when it's present in you. You will not see arrogance in your soul. Putting it another way, arrogance cannot produce spiritual love. A lot of people are arrogant about their love. Spiritual love is not arrogant about itself. It doesn't puff itself up. Now, this one is very important, as we will see. For arrogance does not produce, or does produce, arrogance does produce a pseudo-love, a legalism, liberalism. That's not spiritual love. Spiritual love is real. Spiritual love is not based on arrogance. Spiritual love doesn't demand control. Ha ha! Spiritual love does not demand control. See, the liberals' philosophy, ideology is, we'll give you all this stuff, but we control you. We get to tell you what you can do and what you can't do. See? Laissez-faire capitalism? Uh-uh. We don't even give it to you. We give you the freedom to live and to function as you wish. See? But liberalism, socialism, communism, these kinds of things, Islamism, all these things, they want to control. It's a pseudo-love. Spiritual love simply will not produce arrogance. Now, it's a verbal form. Once Paul describes the property of spiritual love in a verbal form, once again, present middle imperative of phuseo. Paul used, under the Holy Spirit, does not use a descriptive adjective or a qualifying noun to describe spiritual love. He uses a verb. That's very interesting. Why does he use a verb? People, because spiritual love acts. It's action. It's not stagnant. Is your love stagnant? Would your spouse say your love is stagnant? Would your children say your love is stagnant? Would your parents say your love is stagnant? Is your love stagnant? Or does it act? See, remember, the most basic thing about love. Love sees a need and then meets that need. For God so loved the world in this way that He gave His only Son. He saw the need of the world. The need of the world was His Son dying on a cross, bearing the judgment of the sins of the world. And then He met that need. Spiritual love sees a need and it meets that need to the best of its ability. It acts. 1 John talks about, so you love in words. You see someone cold and shivering. Bless you, brother, I'll pray for you. Well, big deal. Take off your coat and give it to them. That's the action of spiritual love. See, spiritual love acts. Paul describes the action of spiritual love. Spiritual love is not stagnant. Spiritual love is dynamic. Is your love dynamic? If you want your love to be active, that is, remember, oh boy, let me close with this. Being active means it's going to impose on your life. Nothing will impose on your life like spiritual love. Look what it costs Jesus Christ, the cross. Nothing will impose on your life like spiritual love. It will make demands of you you can't even fathom. So be sure you're ready. Is your love stagnant or is your love dynamic? Is your love just words or is your love action? If you do not want your love to be active, that is, impose on your life, do not call it loving as Christ loved. We are here to love as Christ loved. Act on our life. We'll continue here next Sunday morning. Constant prayer for each one of you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we know that Your love is so important to us. But now we're seeing that our love is important to the world. The love that flows from us is important to the world. It will attract them to Christ. Pray, Father, Your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning. I pray, Father, that people will be motivated as we are in this shut-in period to exercise their spiritual love toward one another within the confines of their own home. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. See you in 15 minutes.